you so much for leading us in music and song this morning. We are. I got a text from Mickey on Friday, and it said that you would be leading us today in music and not to worry. And I was so thankful, and you didn't know how close you had come to such a disastrous experience with music had I been given the job of that. So thank you so very much for doing this morning. It's such a blessing, such a blessing. This morning, just a reminder, we are so glad that you are worshiping with us today. It's a reminder that we are God's children, that all are welcome here in this place to celebrate God's presence in our hearts and in our lives, to remember that we are worthy, and we celebrate the love that we share as common siblings, common creator, and one common love. Reminder, next week is our church picnic. There's still time to sign up to help out if you'd like to. You can see Janet or you can see Peggy, because Suzanne is still not feeling too well. We're hoping she'll be bouncing back here hopefully soon, very soon. Hopefully very soon. But Janet is, and maybe you can give us a little update now or whatever. I know we're excited to hear about Roy, but he's doing well.
Yes, he's doing very well.
Yeah. So that is just absolutely fantastic, and we will give thanks for him in our prayer today when we get to our time in prayer together. Are there any other announcements that I should call to attention this morning? I'm still getting used to that. No, okay. If not, then let us join together our call to worship. You can find that on the screen or in your bulletin, inspired by Psalm 82. Give justice to the weak and the orphan. Rescue the weak and the needy. Rise up, O God, and judge the earth, for all the nations belong to you. And please rise in body or spirit and sing our opening hymn, Holy is the Lord. pray. Gardener God, you plant us in a gifted place, but often we return our sour grapes. We root our hearts, our minds, and our lives in the soil of your forgiving love. Bear up in us a boldness to sing a song strange to the world, but known by you. Let it be the song of shalom, the chorus of Christ love, a hallelujah rising as the world is mended by our consent to you. Yes, plant this anew in us today. Hear this good word. God can never cease to be love. God has no joy in plants uprooted or journeys detoured by distraction. The ancient promise of God proclaimed again and again throughout history still rings true. Nothing can separate us from the love of God made known to us in Christ Jesus. God forgives you and is already planting you anew. This is the good news, and you can trust it with your life. Thanks be to God.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son.
Let us say together what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us greet one another with some sign of Christ's peace. Peace be with you, dear ones. Much love. Thank you. Please be seated. I have two prayer requests to pass along, and one is from Miss Patty. And this Friday, we have a scheduled date for her surgery, which is wonderful. This is going to be this Friday for the pacemaker and defibrillator, and that's going to be at 8:30 in the morning, so you even already have a time. So that's really good, because sometimes they don't let you know until, you know, the night before or something like that. So we want to we definitely will be keeping you in prayer this week and as you for a quick recovery like Roy has been having. He's on his way. Yeah, that's great. So prayers for Patty. And AJ, you said that Suzanne is still coming along. Yeah, getting better, but okay. And also prayers for Barb Krause and her family. She has been in contact with Peggy, and her brother did pass away Saturday morning in Iowa. However, Barb was able to be there with him when he died, and it was a peaceful passing. And for that, Barb was very grateful. They were close, and she was able to be there at the end. And that is a gift, as a gift that she was able to be there, and so we pray for her and those who are left. Anyone else or anything else this morning? If not, then let us come before God in silence. I did want to praise for the time that we had last Sunday evening. Clara was here and Peggy was here, and we had a group of little families who came to have their beautiful brains blessed, but we were very clear that their brains were already blessed, and it was more just a service of thanksgiving for those beautiful brains. And we sang a couple little songs together, and we did a little dance. And one of the songs by a gospel singer, Mavis Staples, was about being worthy, and it reminded them that they are worthy of the smile on their face, worthy of the space that they take up, and worthy of and may they continue to flow in their grace. And I heard from two of the moms who asked for a copy of that song because they asked if they could play that song on the first day of school as it comes up. So I thought that was very neat to hear that later on in the week. So my thanks to Clara and Peggy and to all of you for just keeping these kids and their parents in mind as they do go back to school. And all of our teachers and others will be going back this week and the week to come. Let us pray. O God of mid-August mornings, we do sense the change in the light. We see the difference in the ways many of our feathered and four-legged kin fly and romp. Even the bugs we can't see, well, we can hear them. And the sounds they are making, they remind us that fall is coming. And oh, what a mix of emotions that sound brings. A mix of emotions not only among a group, but to each of our individual hearts sometimes, Lord. We think of time passing both quickly and yet, oh, so slowly sometimes. Some things can seem they just happened yesterday and then some another lifetime ago. Time seems to drag and then it's just a blink. Oh, quiet our worries, Lord. Remove our fears. Take our burdens from us, loving God, because sometimes, precious God, sometimes we lack even the strength to turn the burdens over to you. And so for any and all of your children today, those here in this sacred space, those anywhere in this community, at home, anywhere in this world, who need an extra sense of your presence, may they receive it today somehow, God, whether it's some kind of strange coincidence, some kind of touch from a stranger, a smile, a hand on a shoulder, something, oh God. May those of us who are feeling whole and well enough to give from our abundance, may we share your peace in a new and needed way today with a stranger or friend. Guide us to the person who needs that extra text message this week, that extra note, that extra phone call. Some way we can be there for somebody in a special way, or maybe somebody can be there for us. Help us, oh God. Help us remember that each one of us is your child, and each one of us also has the right and responsibility to show your face and your love to each other. And we pray that the leaders of our world, those in power, might have somebody in their lives who would show them your love and your peace too. We pray, O God, that they would come to a point of healing, to a point of peace in themselves, so that they could act in peaceful and loving and kind ways that would benefit all of your children, O Lord. It sounds like pie in the sky. But yet, isn't that what we pray for each time we lift our prayers to you in that prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen. And let us rise in body or spirit and sing together hymn number 14, For the Beauty of the Earth. Seated. And would our ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering?
Father, you know that only good things come from you. Thank you for the many gifts you've given. We return a portion of these gifts to you and may it be used for your good and the good of all your creation. Amen.
Good morning. This morning's scripture is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 49 to 56, from the New Revised Standard Version. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already ablaze. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, 'It is going to rain,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" This is the word of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As we begin our reflection this morning, I'd like you to just take a moment and think about someone you love very, very much. Spouse, partner, friend, child, parent. You love them so much, and more than once, maybe all the time, they've given you just a little bit of anxiety and trembling right before they open their mouth. You love them completely, and yet you could honestly say they are your loved one without the filter, right? Maybe. You know somebody like that? You love somebody like that? I think if you don't know somebody like that, or you don't love somebody like that, you're the one who's like that. That's right. Yeah, that's what it is. I know I'm that person for a lot of people. I know that I am. I've found that many people have somebody like that in their life. I've discovered that from officiating at weddings. Just last month, I performed a wedding of a young couple. The groom, I knew him. He was in my youth group at the Baptist church growing up, and now he's, you know, in his 30s. And I was meeting with he and his bride-to-be, and I asked them if they were going to write their own vows. And Kenny got this little devilish look in his eyes, and I knew what that meant, that he really wanted to write his own vows. And his bride, Kelsey, she said, "Oh boy, he wants to write his own vows, but there's no way I'd ever let him. I'd never let him, because I know what he'll say. You know, I know he'll just embarrass me." And they laughed about that, and they said, "Yeah, that's why your brother's not going to give the speech at the wedding," right? So, you know, and also at memorial services too, especially for a memorial service for a patriarch or a matriarch who's lived many decades, and the family is gathering to give just thanks for a beautiful life well lived, and somebody will take me aside furtively and just say, "Look, you know, if during the remembrance thing, if Aunt Robin has the mic for longer than 2 minutes, if she starts going into that one story about the time out in Colorado, just kind of like pull the plug or something, you know, right?" So do you have a loved one like that? Where will you love them? You're proud of who they are, but sometimes they say things that are just a little bit embarrassing. embarrassing. Well, I have to tell you, I find what Jesus says today to be very embarrassing. I do. I had invited someone to come today from our dancing group, and I was kind of relieved that she didn't come. I know, I was, because she is a practicing Buddhist. She had a kind of a difficult time growing up, you know, in the church. She hadn't been there in a while, and she was like, "Yeah, maybe I'll come one Sunday," you know. And boy, I'm so glad she didn't come this week, because here's my Savior, this Prince of Peace that I've been defending all the time, that I've been saying, "No, he's not like that. He's not like what you see on TV. He's not this guy who's going to divide." Here he is. Claire, did you make that up? There he is. And every time I had to pick this text, a while ago, I knew I couldn't change it. Oh, I wanted to change it. You know, as a lectionary preacher, we have texts to pick from. But just because I wanted to change it so badly, I knew I shouldn't. But this passage is difficult. Because you and I, none of us need to be reminded. We know what's going on in the world, in the country, in our city. We know in our homes. We know that division exists. We know that there are more than 110 armed conflicts going on in the world right now. We know that many who hold power in the world today have been convicted of crimes against humanity. We know that there are some brothers and sisters, parents and children, who haven't talked to each other for reasons that they may or may not remember. And we know that even church meetings can become contentious. They can drag on for hours about what color to paint the Sunday school room. Honest to goodness, we had one where we fought over whether to have hot dogs and hamburgers at the Christian education picnic. We did. We had both. It was all right. And so, I don't know about you, but one of the reasons why I've always been drawn to the person of Jesus of Nazareth, why I am a Christian, is because of how I experience God through the stories and the life of the Christ. Because for me, Jesus is the turn the other cheek guy. I spent so much of my life trying to explain that God is not the God that some people see on TV. Because think about it. And I've come to know many of you, and some of you I've known a lot of your story, and some of you I know some of your story. Some of us have been going to church for a long time, and we had good church experiences. But hold on to that for just a second. Now, if you've had a good church experience, if you've been raised in a church that was good and healthy, and you haven't had a crisis of faith that led you away from the church for a time, that's wonderful. Just suspend that for just a moment and put yourself in a different headspace. Imagine instead that you grew up in a home where you weren't taught much about God. And that God was a nice idea, maybe real, maybe not, just a nice idea. But basically just be kind and good, and that's about all you need to know. And then you went to school, and in history class, you learned about Christianity, and you learned that during the Crusades, these Christians killed between 1 and 3 million people to spread the good news. And then you learned about the Inquisition. And then you learned, you know, in Nazi Germany, the belt buckles, they said, "God is with us," above and underneath the swastika. And then maybe you heard Pat Robertson on the news talk about how the earthquake in Haiti was a blessing in disguise because the people of Haiti made a pact with the devil 200 years ago. You know. And now you see white supremacists and Christian nationalists marching with signs praising God and Jesus and telling all foreigners to be sent home. But what if all you knew about the Christian faith, what if that was all you knew about the Christian faith? Would you be excited to learn more about this Jesus guy? I wouldn't. But I've been lucky. I've met Jesus and I keep meeting him in different ways, in different people, in different churches. And I'm assuming you have too, because we're all still here. So wait, I don't like this guy that we're meeting here today in Luke's gospel. This is the Jesus who embarrasses me. This is the Jesus who confuses me. Jesus, peaceful Jesus, the one who just last week in the lectionary, said, little flock, do not be afraid. Now he's saying, you think I came to bring peace? Well, guess what, Jesus? Yeah, that's why we call you the Prince of Peace. So why couldn't he have softened this message just a little bit? He doesn't need to promise us division. We've got divisions on top of segments, on top of fractures, on top of offshoots, on top of fragments and shards. So Jesus, if you didn't come to bring peace, what did you come for? But if you were here last week, we thought about the different ways that the Bible can be read as literature, as history, and how we as Christians, we have the right and the responsibility to read it through the lens of Christ, through the lens of Jesus, through the lens of love. And so if we do that, if we read this passage knowing all that we know about Jesus, the way he shared, the way he lived, the way he died, we know that, yes, he did come to bring peace. And we know also that there are different ways of achieving peace. There are peacekeepers, and there are peacemakers. And the truth is, we all have a little bit of both in us. Have you ever been a peacekeeper? I know I have, and that's okay. I mean, sometimes it's okay to be a peacekeeper, like when you're trying to decide what the whole family's going to watch on Netflix that night. It's okay to, as my grandma would say, go along to get along. But it's not good to be a peacekeeper. It becomes a lethal error, a danger when principles and morals are set aside, when a side is appeased out of fear or to garner favor. And we've seen this happen in history with the appeasement of Adolf Hitler in 1936 and 1938. That's peacekeeping. Well, there are good people on both sides. We'll just do this. Don't make them upset. Peacemaking, on the other hand, is costly and it's hard and it's painful, and that's what Jesus is talking about here. The key to his words, as the author has written them in Luke, through the lens of Christ, we read them knowing what we know about Jesus. And when Jesus says, from now on, five in one household are going to be divided. Two against three, three against two. Father against son, son against father. Jesus isn't saying that he wants that. Jesus is saying, not my goal, but that's what's going to happen. This is going to be hard. Like so much of what Jesus asks us to do, he asks us to love our enemies. He asks us to take care of our neighbor. And it doesn't mean that our enemies or our neighbor are going to want that. But we're asked to do those things, to do those peacemaking things. And Jesus isn't asking us to do anything that he wasn't willing to do, that he didn't do. And my goodness, he disturbed the peace, didn't he? He disturbed that thing they call the Pax Romana, that period of what they call Rome's golden years, from 27 BCE to 180 CE. Historians describe it this way, one guy, Michael Camp: in ancient Rome, the concept of bringing peace to the world wasn't anything to do with making peace to your enemy or establishing democracy. It was about conquering your enemy and ruling over them with an iron hand. Once your enemy was conquered, peace was maintained by quashing uprisings, keeping order in society, not equality, and punishing the disobedient in a way that put fear in people so they would not try to rise again. It was a peace created through military and political dominance, the extraction of resources through taxes, and fear of those in charge. The Roman emperor, they were worshipped as gods, and those who sought to disturb the peace, those criminals, the real troublemakers, the real peace disruptors, were crucified. Yes, like our Jesus. Still, it is unsettling. Following Jesus is not safe. Jesus is not meek and mild, but he is good. And his love is strong, and his love is sustaining. Jesus knew that sometimes things have to be broken to be healed. A friend of mine from the Baptist church, Betty Durr, one year at our church picnic, no less, at Devil's Elbow, maybe we shouldn't have had the church picnic there, she broke her hip. And after surgery, it didn't heal very well. She went to a different doctor, and he said, "Yeah, we're going to be able to fix this, but we got to re-break it." Yeah. But it had to be rebroken. That was part of the fixing. Some things need to be broken: abusive relationships, abusive laws, abusive systems. Jesus knew this, and he knew that was going to cause division. Jesus knew, but he also knew that it was going to bring about healing. And that's the good news of this passage. That's the part that isn't embarrassing. And that's the part that I hope that we will remember, and that will continue to be a story that we, who've loved Jesus for a long time, can share with those who are just getting to know him, so that they will come to love him as we do. Amen. And let us rise in body or spirit and sing our final hymn together, "Mighty to Save."
And now may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all those whom you love and all those whom no one loves, this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.